And welcome back for the 363rd installment of the Parish of the Patriots. Glad you could join us this week. Looking forward, as always, to a hopefully insightful, entertaining, formative discussion. It's what our goal is here, week in and week out, as we do this show. Now, we weren't here. I wasn't here last week, as hopefully some of you noticed. Wasn't here last week, and no particular, the main reason being that a couple days before, I looked down to see what I had jotted down just here and there, different thoughts, and basically had nothing. I had nothing to talk about. And I've always, look, I've been doing this for a minute now. I can't believe how long I've been doing this. And I've always had a hard and fast rule for myself. And that is basically, if I get ready to do a show and I don't have anything to talk about. I mean, don't get me wrong. I could sit here. It may seem like it, like that's a normal show, but no, I could sit here and find something to ramble about for an hour to fill the time and say I put a show out. I have always refused to do that. Again, jokingly, I say that, you know, it may not seem that way, but I've always refused to just do a show just to do a show. And if it comes time when I normally would sit down and do a show, And I mean, I got ready. I was getting close. I was like a day or two before doing the show. And I look, because I jot my thoughts down during the week, you know, whether they're, you know, Bible study thoughts or just happening thought, you know, what's going on in the world around us thoughts. I would jot them down. And, you know, normally I look and I have a, it's not a script, but I have a rough idea. It'll give me some jumping off points and we'll have a discussion on these things. And I mean, I had nothing. I had a few Epstein points, and I'm just sick of that topic. So, you know, yeah, I've always had that rule, and that was it. You know, I basically didn't have anything to talk about. I'm not going to sit here and waste your time and mine too, rambling for an hour without really saying anything to say, well, I did a show. Now, and if you do this, 360, and that's not counting daily nationalist shows, roundtables, or anything else. Just Parish of the Patriots. 363 hours plus of this. I can guarantee you, you're going to hit some spots where you just don't have anything left to say. You know? And I think I've done, not to toot my own horn, I think I've done pretty well to be at 363 and still going. And at least keep it somewhat informative, interesting. If you do get something out of the show, we do got the snail mail address there. Look on the description page for the show. You skim through there, and that's it. There's no Bitcoin, no cryptocurrencies, nothing janky like that. It's address and envelope. Doesn't get any easier than that. And hey, it is always appreciated. We've been 2 weeks, and 2 weeks of the... The mailbag is empty, so we don't have to stop there. We can keep on going. This is a difficult show to do. I'm not going to lie. Under normal circumstances, I wouldn't be recording this show when I record it. I'm recording it as I typically do. I typically record this show on a Saturday morning. And today is no different. It's Saturday morning. I'm sat down here to record the show. Just before recording the show, I check the headlines, see what's going on. And the U.S. and Israel have started their Iranian shenanigans. Now, this puts me in a tough spot. I can't really talk about that. And by the time this show airs, which will be basically, you know, which will be 4 days from now, because I'm doing this early Saturday morning, you know, people wonder, like, why didn't you talk about it? And if I do talk about it, I'm going to be leaving out so much stuff. Now, normally what I would do when there's something like this going on, I would hold off on recording the show and do it closer to the air date, maybe even the day of. That's a little tough because I got to get it done and send it to Sven so he can do his thing and put it up on the site. But I would normally wait. I got things going on, potentially things I've got to take care of, personal business, Monday, Tuesday. So I can't do that. So today is kind of my window of opportunity to get it done. So makes it a little tough, but we'll soldier through. Like I say, at 363, it's not like I don't have plenty of experience. It's not like I don't have plenty of experience. So, you know, we'll soldier our way through this. But like I say, we'll discuss it a little bit, but not very much. And that's the reason why. It's not like, well, you're going off talking about all this other stuff when we got this big thing going on. Well, that's because that now you know the reason why, because I don't have a lot of information. If I get too off in the weeds with it, the further out there I go with talking about it, the more wrong I could be. Right now, as of recording of the show, there's very little information. It does look like, from what little bit I've read, it looks like Israel was the one, of course, that started it. What a shock! You know, like Trump was still dilly-dallying. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Maybe he might disobey Netanyahu. I think the odds of that were slim to zero. But Israel just went ahead and started kicking things off. So, of course, the United States has to obediently go along and do what they're told, like that was ever in question, you know, like that was ever in doubt. I was reading stuff leading up to this and, you know, different people, you know, like, oh, well, you know, the U.S. might not do what Israel. And it's like, I don't know what kind of rock you would be living under to think it is ever in question that the U.S. is going to do what they're told. The U.S. government going to follow orders from above. So, yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. The Iranians up to this point have threatened that, you know, basically this time we're not going to hold back. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. But, yeah, we'll see how it plays out. A lot more will have played out by the time the show airs. So, again, I apologize that I can't really get off into it. But this is my window to record the show Saturday morning. And like I say, with other things I've got going on, because I'm still out here on my grind, I got to try to get on and do the rest of my life. I don't have the opportunity to do it a little closer to showtime. But we'll probably, you know, get into some more in-depth. No doubt we'll have more in-depth discussion on this as we go along here on Radio Albion, and hopefully Dr. Johnson will get back up on his feet, because it's always when he's not available that these sort of things happen. So yeah, hopefully Matt gets to feeling better here really soon. Because like I say, this gets more into his field of expertise, and we'll see. Like I say, we'll be having more discussions on this as it plays out, more information becomes available. So anyway, that having been said, you know, what you're not going to be lacking is plenty of people on the internet with lots of opinions of how it's playing out. And you have to bear in mind, I'm sure most of you are familiar with, but if you're not, there's this thing called dead internet theory. And what this basically comes down to is most of the people you're dealing with on the internet, as far as social media, comments on YouTube or comments on a news article, they're not real people. They're bots. And there was a study done here a while back, and I've talked about this a little bit before. There was a study done this a while back and basically said that like 53% or something like that of these comments that you see, these posts on social media and whatnot, aren't even real people. They're bots. And I think that's something, whether you believe that's true or not, and we're going to get into this here in a little bit, I think it's worth bearing in mind, because I see people get into heated discussions, you know, back and forths on the internet. And it's like, you just imagine, stop for a second and imagine that you are having a heated argument with a bot. All you're doing is training somebody's AI bot with your heated discussion, your debate. Now, I have been kicking a theory around, and one of the things I like to do with this show, for me, is I use it as like a sounding board. It's a means for me to continue to just, I'm working out my various thought processes. And sometimes I have thought processes that are just theories. Just, I consider them. Oftentimes, some of the things I consider, I later discard them to say, yeah, no, that's not right. And I throw them overboard and move on. So when I get into some of these things, I'm not sitting here saying this is absolutely right. You need to believe me. I'm just playing around with these ideas, you know, with these thoughts. And maybe they're interesting for you too. But in other words, it's kind of a demonstration of my thought process. Now, this dead internet theory and talking about getting into arguments with bots and stuff. I went from this because I've been kicking this around. And again, I've touched on this before. I periodically have been kicking around this idea that NPCs are real. Bear with me. Because dead internet theory, over half of the comments and posts on social media and whatnot are bots. And I was thinking about that. And then I was thinking about the thought processes of certain people, of some people. And I'm thinking, how would you tell the difference? How much difference is there between a bot and the way some of these people think or don't actually think? They just sort of take in other people's words and then regurgitate them. They just go with the flow. They're just whatever is the thing. You know, because you think about all the government manipulation. We are under a constant psyop. This is one of the things that has people so stressed out. You know, because we know we're under constant psyop. Every time something happens, there's a mass shooting, or this happens, or this happens. And, you know, the first go-to reaction a lot of people have is it's a psyop. And there's a reason for that. It's not just because everybody's crazy, though there is no lack of crazy people either. It's because we are constantly being manipulated. That's the purpose of the media, not to inform you, but to manipulate you, to get you to think a certain way, to do a certain thing, to support a certain thing. We're under a constant bombardment. And this puts stress on people. It puts mental stress on them. Constantly being... So people always... And the problem, too, from this, and this is a part of where some of the crazy comes from, is it just becomes that everything's a lie. You know, you can't... Where people get to where they can't even tell what's true, what's not. So they just go to a default setting that everything they see in this world is a lie. This is one of the reasons why I really caution people, and I really, for your own mental health, don't stay off in this stuff too much. I mean, I read the news. I stay up on what's going on, but only enough of it to do that, if you catch what I'm saying. Because if you spend too much time in this, it is not good for you, because there's such a negative energy to it. Now, talking about this manipulation, again, that's what the media exists for. The media does not exist. Everything in this system, we are told one thing. You know, like the government, we're told the government is, we have a democracy and the government answers to the people. That is observably a lie. We're told that the system is supposed to provide a certain amount of, you know, freedom and guarantee our rights. It doesn't do that. And when you think about it, because this leads to people saying things like, you know, the government is broken, the system is broken, you know, and that is a lot of people that view the system is broken. This is where they're wrong. The system is functioning just fine. It is not broken. Nobody is going to go in there and fix the system because it's not broken. It's doing exactly what it's designed to do. When you step back and look at the big picture, it's doing what it's designed to do. The inconsistency with that occurs in people's minds is the cognitive dissonance, if you would, is they lied to you about what the system does. They said you have a say in the system. The system answers to you. You have final say. You, the voters, like when you watch the news and they put up their big graphic before giving you some election nonsense, you know, voters decide. 2026, voters decide. You don't decide shit, just to be crude and blunt about it. But you see, people still have that in their head. The system's broken. The system is broken. So we got to fix it. I read articles, opinion pieces sometimes from people who I have no doubt are fairly intelligent people. You know, they no doubt have degrees. So anybody would say, well, they're smarter than you, GPD. And yet, they will still cling to this silly notion that the system is broken. We got to find a way to fix the system. It's not broken. The system is functioning at 100% capacity and then some. Now, it's failing because you can only do this so long. You know, illegitimate rule has a shelf life, no matter what you do. But as far as the system doing what it's designed to do, it's working fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Anytime I read somebody go, hey, we got to find a way to fix this, fix it. Fix what? You know, because somebody told you, there's a tractor is a combine and you're wondering why you're driving your tractor around and it's not picking any grain. It's not designed to do that. Not the best comparison, but you get what I'm saying. If somebody gave you a computer program designed to do bookkeeping and you're trying to game with this computer program and all it's doing is, you know, arithmetic, bookkeeping, the problem is it's designed to do something different. You don't understand that. When you understand the system is working, is functioning, all this makes sense. Of course it is. And yet still people are going out doing these election things, you know. We gotta vote these guys in. We gotta I touched on this. We did a show, Sven and I did the last Friday Daily National show, and I kind of touched on this then, but we got this election year, this midterm election thing going on here in the U.S. And I having freed myself from participating in the charade, withdrawing my consent, withdrawing my own signing off on the system as legitimate, it is so funny to me to watch this stuff because I got years on me, as you well know. And I've seen all this before. The Republicans are running on, they're doing a thing here, because I live in Texas, you know. And one thing they're running on, a lot of these Republican people running for different political positions. And they have a thing they're putting forward in the state legislature. So all these Republicans, they had to go to something. They can't run on the economy. So they're running on no Sharia law in Texas. Joe Good Guy, he's a family man. He's just like you. And he, you know, what does he support? Donald Trump. Keeping out illegals. No Sharia law in Texas. I live in Texas. I've lived my whole life in Texas. And there ain't nobody trying to do Sharia law in Texas. I don't even know. That is something. Because if you don't live here, you might say, well, wow, I didn't know they had all these Muslims in Texas. And they're trying to implement Sharia law in Texas. I saw a deal. Somebody wrote an opinion piece the other day. And this came up. And they were like, wow, who knew Texas was so far gone that they got Muslims trying to enact Sharia law in Texas? No, we don't. They literally just pulled this idea straight out of their backside. Ain't nobody pushing Sharia law in Texas. Who knew? Yeah, I live here. I didn't know. Because Timar didn't have anything to run on. So they no doubt went to a marketing firm and said, hey, what can we run on? How about no Sharia law in Texas? That sounds good. People don't like them. They probably hired a marketing firm from California and New York City, and they're like, well, we know them Texans don't like them Muslims, so run on no Sharia law in Texas. It was just one of the most goofy things. And I still chuckle about it because it's so absurd. Look, nobody's, this is a non-thing. It would be like if you lived in a little one-stop light town with a grocery store, a church, and then, you know, a handful of houses. That's it. That's all is there. And somebody started, you know, and you were having your little mayor race for your little town of less than 1,000 people. And you're one of the mayor candidates. His big platform was no strip clubs in our town. And everybody would be like, what? Who was talking about putting, nobody was talking about putting strip clubs in the town. It's just something out of thin air. No Sharia law in Texas. And of course, they said, no men and women sports. Got to drag. Because that's some of the biggest problems we face. Now, I watch these commercials on mute when I'm watching the local weather or local news because I want to see the weather report. And even on mute, it just adds a nuance to it. And there was one candidate running, and early on, he had his ads up. It was the same ad. He's still running this ad. But, it was going on about how good he is and puts America first, and he's practically, a clone of Donald Trump. And, no Sharia law in Texas and all this. And then at the end of it, because he's a real conservative, and then at the end of it, it showed, it flashed up a thing on the screen. And, of all the different, conservative, like-minded groups that support this guy. And I mean, the first thing that catches your eye down in the bottom left corner is this big Star of David. And it wasn't AIPAC, but it was another Jewish Conservatives for a Future America with Israel or something. I don't remember the name of the group. But I mean, your eyes just drew to this big Star of David in the lower left-hand corner. Now, this is funny to me because they're running, this was probably a month or so ago. They're running the same ad, but the whole endorsement sheet disappeared quickly. I think I saw it once or twice, and that disappeared. It's like, I wonder why. I wonder why that is. Now, the system doesn't do what they're telling you to. When people say we're not going to vote our way out of this, you never were. You never were. The system is working. It's working just fine. Just doesn't do what they told you it would do. That's where the inconsistency happens. Now, but still people buy in. Now, this gets me back around. This kind of took the long way around to get here. This is this idea I'm kicking around. I'm not saying it's correct. But are NPCs real? And like I said, I know I've touched on this before, and I haven't given up on this idea. I'm still kicking it around. When I see people, because it's so obvious now. Like I said, Friday, we did this show. Sven and I did our Daily National show together. And it was this story out of Britain, out of a mainstream publication in Britain. And the migrants are coming because of Russia, and they have advisors from the Middle East. You ought to check the show out because the story we covered is so just absurdly stupid. The Russians, Russia and Belarus are bringing in people from the Middle East who are experts at tunnels. In other words, yes, they're Hamas. And they're digging tunnels, and that is how migrants are getting to the UK. They're coming from Russia and Belarus via the tunnels. Insinuated tunnels that were dug by Hamas. And whenever I come across something like this, I think, who is this designed for? Who is stupid enough that they read this and believe it? Because somebody must. I mean, they're putting it out. This is so obvious. It's pointing out the absurdity of it is for my perspective, very low-hanging fruit. But, I mean, somebody buys into it. Elections are a scam, and yet people line up to go vote. They know it's a scam. Now, I was talking about the elections here, and I keep getting off on these tangents, but this is what keeps bringing me back to the idea that maybe there isn't for a large segment of the population, there is no difference between their thought process and just a bot. I see talking about these elections. There's another ad. There's a Democrat running for Senate. And again, on mute. He wants to tax billionaires and make them pay their fair share. And you less. More fairness. Limit cap campaign contributions, get big money out of the election process so the people are heard. And there's people out there going to see that and say, that's my guy. And I guess if you're young, there's a certain excuse. But trust me, I have seen that so many times. Trust me, if that guy gets elected, if that guy were to theoretically get elected, he's not going to do any of those things. Trust me. I've seen Democrat candidates for decades promise that same thing. It ain't ever happened. There ain't been no campaign contribution, kick the lobbyists out so you get listened to. It never happens. The Republicans, the conservatives, they had the Tea Party. Same idea. There's a big movement. Their big movement. It was a bowel movement because their lingering politician that the Tea Party got in there was Ted Cruz. That tells you. He was going to do, Ted Cruz represented the Tea Party, which was what? Term limits, campaign finance reform. We know what Ted Cruz stands for. Yeah, I meant to bring this up, and I just got rambling and got past it. But the no Sharia law in Texas thing, what's funny about that is, what is enshrined in law in Texas? Because there's nobody trying to push Sharia law in Texas. That's not a thing. I'm sure some random Muslims somewhere get together and be like, this place needs Sharia law. They may not be wrong, by the way. But no, there's no big push for Sharia law in Texas. But what is law in Texas is you can't be a contractor or work for the state of Texas unless you support Israel. Like, if I was a contractor, and let's say I had a paving company, and I put in a contract to do a paving job for the state, you know, out here on the highway, by law, I couldn't get the job. No matter how I bid it, no matter what quality my work is. Because you can't not support Israel, because it's anti-Semitism or something. I would literally legally be forbidden. Now, you tell me, Sharia law, is that a red herring? What would be the opposite of Sharia law? I mean, what is the name for it? Judaic law, I guess. It ain't the Sharia's calling the shots here. Again, we know we're being constantly manipulated. What amazes me is how obvious it is and how well it works. I was talking to Sven after we recorded the Friday show, just visiting. We visit like that. And I was saying, you know, the whole purpose of, we got into talking about the ICE protests that were going on a few weeks ago up north, up in Minnesota, which you notice just suddenly quit right before this U.S.-Iran thing kicked off. And I was talking to Sven, I said, you know what the point of that was, right? I said, because up to that point, the left was starting to get some traction, and the left has always, you know, served their purpose. And then all of a sudden, the left started getting on this thing about Israel, against Israel, protesting Israel and the genocide. I mean, when you're openly genociding the Palestinians, and it's for everybody to see, hard not to notice. And the left was correctly starting to protest against Israel and the what they're doing to the Palestinians. Then all of a sudden, they start sending people up there doing the ICE thing. And it sucked all that energy out of that. Where are the leftists protesting? Because Israel has not stopped bombing the Palestinians. They let up a little bit, mostly because there was nothing left to bomb. Trump claimed it was because of, you know, he brought his most magnificent peace deal. No, they just literally were running out of things to bomb. You know, I guess we'll bomb this same pile of rubble again. And yet all the protesting against Israel that was starting to flare up sucked the energy, sucked the oxygen right out of that and diverted them right into these manufactured ICE protests in Minneapolis, of all places. How easy. It's easy. Maybe what we see here is a struggle for the hearts and minds, for the direction, the control over the NPCs, over the bots of society. This is a theory. Don't put weight in it. Don't say you're wrong. I may be wrong. This is my thought process. And one of the things, like I said before, one of the things I like to do on this show is just, this is how I think through things. This is how, you know, I come up with various theories and kind of run them through my mind and see if they stand up. A lot of them get tossed aside. But this one, I find interesting. Now, bear with me. It'd be for the very Christian perspective of it. And that you're supposed to love all mankind. We know, because this nonsense that your average NPC NPC, too many acronyms there, would say, you know, we're all children of God. We're, look, everybody, every human being on the face of this earth is a child of God. That's BS. Because that is completely unbiblical. So we can throw that out. Now, we know from the Bible, strictly New Testament here. Just if we stick with strictly New Testament, we know from what Jesus said that there are people in this world who are children of the devil. You know, look at the parable of the wheat and the tares, you know, the wheat and the weeds. Now, that is very plainly spelled out that there are people sown among the population who are children of the devil. Then there are the seeds, you know, those who have the seed. They have the potential. Now, the Lord says not everybody's going to fulfill that potential, but they do have that seed. They are the grain, the wheat that is sown. And the tares and the wheat grow up together. But the tares are always going to be tared. In other words, there are those who are children of the devil. They're not going to save them. It's literally impossible. I thought you said God could do anything. Quit. They are what they are. They're children of the devil. So we know there are those who have the potential. There are those who have the potential. They have the seed. They are a seed. They are a grain of wheat that are planted. Now, from his Jesus' other parable of the sower throwing the grain out, sowing the grain, because back then they didn't have tractors and all of that. They basically threw the grain out and kind of raked it in. Some of the grain falls on rocky ground, some of it among thorns. Only a little bit of it, only a remnant. There's that pattern you see all throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, with the system, with what God does. It's always about harvesting that remnant. And some of the grain never makes any fruit. You know, never fulfills its purpose creating a crop. It lands on hard ground or thistles or whatever. It never reaches that potential. But it was grain. A tare is a tare. It's always going to be a tare. It doesn't matter if it's on great soil, bad soil, whatever. It is what it is. It is always going to be that. You're not going to save it. You're going to kind of transform it. You wonder why all these churches are in a mess, because they just let tares grow up and pretended they're same as them. Because we're all God's children. Now, this is something that I'm 100% sure of. That's not an idea I'm kicking around, because it's backed by the Bible. It's backed by the words of Jesus Christ. So it's true. There are those here in this world, children of the devil. There are those who have the seed. That doesn't mean they're all going to be saved. It doesn't mean they're all going to fulfill their potential. They just have the potential. This little bit of time you get here in this world, in this life, it's what you're going to do with that. With that grain, with that seed that you are, that has been planted. What are you going to do? Imagine the regret of finding out you're a seed. You had the potential. You had a thinking mind. And you just squandered it on meaningless nonsense. You just wasted it, doing nothing. The children of the devil, they're just going to look.
You mean God?
it's just going to send them to hell. He's sending them back home. They're spawn of the devil. He's going to send them back to their daddy. Where else would you send them? If you were walking around a festival somewhere and you found a lost child, what are you going to do? You're going to find that child's parent and return them to their parent. That would be what you would do. You're going to take them and drag them off somewhere and give them to a group of strangers. You're going to take them home and just say, well, this is my kid now. I'm going to start raising this kid. No, you're going to go find that person's parent and you're going to return them. That's all God's going to do. These children of the devil, they're going back to daddy. Where else are you going to send them? You're going to bring them home with you. They don't belong with you. They're not your kin. They're not your family. They're his family. It is the only fair thing to do.
Well, that's just not right. It makes me feel bad. God wouldn't do that.
What's he supposed to do? Abduct them? Children of the devil and those who have the seed, the potential. Now, this is as far as biblically backed we go. Now we start venturing into my current thought process. What if there's a third group? In other words, I've always read that, and that's all you can read from it, because you know it's not expanded on necessarily further. And you think, okay, well, that gives us an either-or situation. There are people here in this world that are children of the devil. There's people here in this world that have that are grain. They have the potential to bear fruit for the Lord. Either or. But how big are the groups? Are most people children of the devil? Because you got people that are going to act like you just look at them and they seem just like, you know, worthless, sinful POS. But actually, they have a grain. They have the potential. They could repent and come to God. And some of them do. Some of them can. Some of them do. They all can. They do. They got the seed. They got the potential. So you can't. You have to be careful here, but understand that, you know, you do biblically backed. You know we have those two groups, tares and wheat. But I've always assumed that that's it. It's one of the two. But what if that's not the case? And again, now we're in theory, and this is just thought process. Because when we look at people's behavior, you know, they're not. So obviously, it's not that they're bad. You know, how many times do you look at people's group behaviors? Just look at people, group behaviors. And it's not that they're bad. It's not that people are bad or evil. And not that they're particularly good, evil, or good either. It's just that they're just kind of there. You know, they just go along, whatever. They're swayed so easily. And no matter how obvious the manipulation is, they keep falling for it. In other words, they appear pretty stupid. And even though in other areas they may not be stupid, but in a lot of the behavior patterns, it's just like it doesn't make any sense. What if, and this is just a what if, again, please don't say, well, you believe. No, this is the way I just like thinking. You have to challenge your brain. You have to challenge your mind. If you're going to stay mentally sharp and be constantly sifting for the truth, you've got to be able to challenge yourself. You've got to be able to challenge your ideas and look at these things and then relook them. And what if this is the case and work through that? What if in reality, because we know we have our two distinct groups, children of the devil, children of God. But what if instead of everybody on the face of the planet falls into one of these two categories, what if instead both of these groups are actually really small, relatively small? What if there's a relative small handful? And when you understand that the system, and by the system I mean this world, this realm that God created that we live in and how it functions, and one of the defining characteristics which we can observe is this world functions, and the world is created by God. The created world is designed towards a sense of balance. Everything balances out. Things get out of balance, but the system always brings things, pulls things back into balance. So what if you have a situation where you have a relatively small percentage of people on the face of the earth who are of the devil, but also a relatively small group of people who have the seed, have the potential to be of God? Let's say those two groups are actually fairly small, and there's not enough manpower, so as to speak, for things to function. If you were designing a program, what do? You're going to use bots. If it was a game, because if you have a video game, and I hate comparing the world to a video game, it's a very base comparison, but it works here. If you have a video game, you've got to have NPCs, because you only got one or two players, depending on what kind of game it is. But you have one or two players, but you, for the game to function, you have to have these NPCs. You have to have these bots. What if it's actually really what we're dealing with is those who are of the devil, those who have the seed, the potential to be of God? And then what if it's a lot of people that just basically are just here to kind of keep things running? They're just bots. NPCs are just bots. Just here to, you know, provide the manpower so that, you know, the literal functioning things, the things this, you know, that make the world go on, you know, to provide the manpower to do that, carry out these tasks. Now, we know they did a survey here a while back that, you know, there's a certain amount of people that were when asked about their inner monologue, you know, the way they think about things, they had no idea what the people asking the question even meant. What do you mean? You hear voices in your head? Well, no, you know, your discussion, your thought process in your mind. I don't have any of that. I just look at my phone. That seems odd. What if there's a whole lot of them? And what if, bear with me, what if a lot of this conflict between the sentient groups, the children of the devil, and those who are of God, those who have the potential of God, what if a lot of this fight actually constitutes swaying the NPCs? You know, manipulating. What if the NPC is actually the vast majority of people? To attack for one side, to move against the other side, you're swaying the NPCs in the middle, the bots. You're getting the NPCs to move one way or the other. The NPCs are protesting Israel, doing something obviously bad. Quick, look over here. There's white supremacist fascist ICE agents grabbing people off the streets while wearing ski masks on their faces. But you can tell they're all white. My gosh, you got to do it. Just run over here and do this now. And just forget all about that, because you can't think of two things at once. I don't know how to explain it any other way, because it's so unreasonable. It's so obvious, and yet it works. I mean, it works a lot. It's obvious that Trump is going to do the bidding of Israel. You know, somebody said something to me, like a week or so back, like, do you think Trump's going to go on and attack Iran? And it's like, well, whatever Israel wants, he's going to do. I mean, that's just obvious. It's not. And yet you're going to have MAGA supporters that are going to be all shocked. Or maybe not. They'll find a way to justify it. That somehow this is America first. It's so easy. And they'll point at each other, you know. Yeah, look at them dumb leftists. They'll go along with anything. And then they themselves will turn around and go along with anything. This politician's a family man. He's against Sharia law in Texas. I better vote for him. It's the most, haven't you heard? This is the most important election ever. Yeah, every single one in my almost 60 years of life on this, in this country, every single election has been the most important one ever. Going to decide the fate of the nation. And the results have always been the same. I don't know. And, you know, like I say, just thinking through it, maybe this whole idea that I'm kicking around in my back of my head and have been for a while now, that there's a certain group of, you know, a large portion of the population that are just non-player characters. They're bots. If that's the case, maybe that's, well, let me finish that thought because I get ahead of myself. No, maybe that's a cope, as they say. Maybe that's cope on my part. That I find it hard to believe that people are just that easily manipulated. You know? I mean, when you look at the crucifixion of Christ, you know, like a few days ago, these people were all like, oh, wow, clamoring to hear what Jesus had to say. Then just a little needling and a little manipulation and a few words thrown here and there, and those same people are out there yelling and screaming, crucify him, crucify him. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Are they evil? Were they evil when they were all clamoring to hear what he had to say? They were clamoring to hear what he had to say, crowding up, it's the latest thing. But then just a couple days later, those same people are yelling and screaming, crucify him. The crowd, as they say. It's like they just, they go wherever. They're swayed in whatever direction. I don't know. And like I said, maybe it's cope on my part. I just want to, maybe I just can't find any other way to explain it. Maybe the reality is just people are dumb. I don't know. How do you so easily just, like, you imagine you're here and you're watching this guy and listen to him talk and he's saying these amazing things. You've never heard anything like that before. Even seen him heal sick people. You've done heard about how he raised some guy out of the dead even. He's doing these amazing, he's gone all over doing these amazing things. Teaching with authority. The word is spread. You come to see, and you've never heard anybody talk like this. Speaking with authority, like he actually knows what he's talking about. Then a couple days later, you hear, oh, this guy's horrible. Let's crucify him. Come on down. We're going to crucify that same dude. Sure, let's go. I can't wrap my mind around that. And like I say, maybe it's just cope on my part. That's the only way I can just comprehend it, is that they don't even have the ability to think. They just go with whatever. Now, if that were the case, that there are people, and a large number of them, that are basically incapable of independent thought. They just take in inputs. Because people in that survey I referenced, you know, who don't have any sort of inner monologue, and they had no idea what you're even talking about. They basically said they just take in information. They just see what's on the news or on their phone. And they go with that. You know, if that's the case, then, man, social media, you know, the media, what a perfect way. You know, I mean, because like back at the time of the crucifixion of Jesus, you know, they had to go out there. The Pharisees had to go out there and kind of, you know, start spreading the word among the crowds to, you know, get them to do what they wanted them to do. But it's a lot more efficient now. They got social media, people just going off of TikTok or whatever. You can sway them real easy because they're not going to question anything. They say themselves, they just take inputs, they just read things or see a video, and they go with that. Then if they get some other video they like better that's 100% in contradiction to what they were supporting yesterday, they go with that. I personally am unable to wrap my mind around that. I would say around that thought process, but it is I can't wrap my mind around that lack of thought process. I can't. And again, maybe that's just me trying to make sense of it. Because like when Sven and I did that story from Britain about it's the Russians and basically Hamas who is the reason why the UK have all these migrants. I mean, who is this written for? It could only be written for like an NPC, for somebody incapable of any kind of thought, because this is such obvious tripe. I mean, who is this even? Who is your target audience with this? Because there's no rational person capable of independent thought that is going to read that and at the end of it go, wow, this all makes sense to me now. It was Putler all along. If you did have a situation, if you did have a theoretical situation of children of the devil versus children of God, then one of the most effective, with a large mass of just bots in the middle, it would make perfect sense, logical sense, to your most effective weapon would be manipulating the thoughtless bots in the middle and using them as a weapon against the other group. That would make sense. You have your most effective army is just who can whip up the non-thinking, just automatons wandering around out there. That would be your most effective army. If you can whip them up into a frenzy, they'll do anything. And it doesn't matter what they're doing today. It doesn't matter what they're supporting today. Crowds crowded around to hear Jesus. You can whip them up in 2 days to be screaming for his crucifixion. Doesn't matter. It's just whatever latest input, that's what they'll go with. Whether the input is correct, incorrect, is irrelevant. They'll go along with it. Now, I started pointing out earlier, you know, that one of the fundamental aspects of the creation, the system, is seeking balance. What if one of the purposes of wars is to cull down the number of NPCs? I'm not trying to sound cold or heartless. But just, again, this is a thought exercise. What if, because we do understand, I do understand, I think it's pretty evident, that one of the ways this system works, a function of this creation, the world we live in, is it always seeks a state of balance. Well, if you have a large group of people in the middle, so as to speak, that are non-player characters, they just exist to keep things moving, so there'll be enough people here. Otherwise, you just have these tiny groups of people. They facilitate things moving forward. But it would stand to reason you would get too many of them. And so the system, seeking balance, would have a way of culling out. You're getting too many non-player characters. You're getting too many bots. So the system would have to have a way to cull them out. Maybe that's one of the functions these wars have, is to cull out some of the NPCs. You know, you get too many, you got to restore some balance. So these wars come out and you cull out a bunch of the NPCs. Now, because think about it. Knowing with a thinking mind, you know what the U.S. government stands for. You know what they do. And yet people go out and sign up for the U.S. military. I mean, why would you do that? If you didn't want to go, when somebody gets recruited to go to the U.S. military, they're going to sit them down and say, man, I got a deal for you. Okay. We're going to pay you, we're going to pay you like nothing if you figure it by the hour, because they own you 24/7 in the military. It isn't like you have a regular job. We're going to pay you a pittance. But what you get is mediocre health care. You will be government property. And at any time, at any place, we can send you somewhere you've never been before to go potentially die fighting people that you don't even know. They've never done anything to you. They have nothing to do with you, for greater Israel and for a bunch of rich people here can make even more money. That's what we're signing up for. They ain't going to ever tell you that, but it doesn't take a lot of research to figure out that's what you're doing. Wouldn't you sign up for? I mean, wouldn't you do a little research? If you're going to sign up for, say, 4 or 5, 6 years or whatever of your life, you're going to join the U.S. military. You would look into it. You apply for any other job, you can see, what does the job entail? You would figure out real quick what you're signing up for, the U.S. military. You're going to get sent, potentially, the whole purpose of the job is to go kill people that haven't done anything to you or no threat to you or no threat to your own people back home. But bankers here will get rich, the arms industry will get rich, and greater Israel gets to expand. That's what you're signing up for, and people do it. Who does that? Non-player characters, bots. Maybe it's a way of the system keeping the balance. You get too many bots. You got to start clearing bots out. Maybe, I don't know. How the hell else do you explain people doing such irrational things? You know, our brave men and women in uniform. It's like, brave? Who signs up for that? Why would you sign up for that? I know young people are easily influenced and all that, and I'm not crapping all over people. But good night. I mean, it's so obvious. It's not like we've had 20 years of peace and people think they're just signing up for a jobs program. I mean, the U.S. is basically a constant state of war. And you would go in there knowing that. I don't know. I may be wrong. I'm probably wrong. But isn't that even scarier? So I said, maybe I'm just, this is a way of, you know, in trying to wrap my mind around, I'm just coping with the horrible. Because if you don't have a large segment of the population who are just thoughtless, mindless NPC bots that are just here to keep things moving forward, then what's the alternative? Well, that just people are dumb. I mean, just people are really stupid. The Goyim really are cattle. I mean, what is the alternative? That's even worse. If a large segment of the population are not NPC botless bots that just exist, you know, because if that is the case, then they essentially don't even have a soul. They just exist, and then they cease to exist because they just hear. To keep things moving, to keep the machinery of the world running. But if that's not the case, then my gosh, people are really that damn dumb. That's even more frightening to me. That's a more disturbing of a thought. That just, no, people are really that gullible, that stupid. They have rational thought and they have ability to think through things rationally and reasonably and just choose not to. They just don't for whatever reason. I don't know. That's more disturbing to me. That's more disturbing to me than the idea that maybe just a lot of these people are incapable. It's not their fault. They're automatons just carrying out a function. Anyway, just like I said, it's a thought exercise, something to just keep the idea in the back of your head. And I'm in no way saying this is right. You need to believe me because I don't even know if it's right. I'm telling you up front, it's just a thought exercise. But before you dismiss it, keep it in the possibility in the back of your mind as these days play out. As we got this Iran thing has kicked off as a recording of this show. Watch people's reactions to it. Watch the way they get manipulated and how easily, for obvious bait, the obvious bait that they take and go chasing after. Watch people's reaction to it and keep it in the back of your mind. And make you start scratching your head and say, maybe there's something to this idea. Maybe they just can't help it. You know, instead of being angry at them and frustrated, if there's a possibility that they just, that's what they are. They don't really have the capability for rational thought. They have the capability to think things enough to perform tasks. But as far as actually thinking through and sifting through, they just don't. just an idea. Keep in the back of your mind as you watch people react to this latest happening, as you watch people go through this election cycle and go through the motions of this absurdity. Weigh that in the back of your mind of what if, what does this look like? Because you look at it and you see people reacting a certain way. And a lot of times it doesn't make any sense. And then think, okay, well, if this is theoretically possible, does this make more sense that people are behaving and reacting in this manner? That they're justifying things the way they're justifying them? You know, does this make things make a little more sense? Who knows? Maybe we can work through it together. We should give us some ideas together. Anyway, we're going to wrap up on that note. Again, I appreciate y'all joining me this week. We wasn't here last week, took a little break, but we are back this week. Have every intention to be back next week if everything works as it should. It is my intention. It's always my intention to be back the next week. But yeah, we'll be back next week. Again, I appreciate you stopping by. We'll see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots. Thank you.